know that you had brought not just mine, but not just ours, I mean, but Smackin' and Raw's too, right?
I took this Michael Ross sign. I don't know what happened to it because apparently the glare from it wasn't too receptive on television because the light would hit it and people wouldn't see it. But if you know where to look for it, it's there. So go back and watch SmackDown. Watch the left side corner where the tag teams are at. That's where you'll find it.
Gotcha. And
It's there. It's there. I took a sign. I did my obligations. I did my obligation.
it's a bare minimum, but it's an obligation.
Speaking of
Listen.
sign, did you all see that sign that said, I just missed my pants?
Oh yeah, I just missed in my pants.
You know, when I see these signs though, like I'm kind of like wondering like what is the actual this actual statement, right? 'Cause like if they're talking I just missed my pants and knowing miss, does that mean like your ejaculation is awesome?
That's a good question. Does it just scream like, hey, like I have giant balls and I need to let everyone know that I just missed in my pants because there's so much ejaculation coming from there? Could be, could be an overabundance of ejaculation, you know?
This
Maybe.
is a real world question, actually.
Yeah, exactly. We need an answer here. Was it that he it was a pre-Miz? Like he pre-Mizzed himself like the night before CM Punk said that he already knew that he pre-Mizzed his pants knowing full well that he was gonna miss him the following night because of Punk.
And he
So
felt so good that
who
I just
knows?
had to make a sign about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta let the world know. You
You
gotta
gotta
let the
let the
world
world
know.
know. You gotta let the world know. Okay.
You know, I guess that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, the Get Your Podcast crew is in the building. And that's right, you got your homie Juss.
And what's up? Just like R-Truth, Garn is back.
Daddy's back.
Yeah. Not only is Garn back,
Oh.
Daddy Delgado is here too. Poppy's back in the palace or in the bodega or whatever
The
Justin's in.
convenience
Taqueria.
store, you know what I'm
The
saying?
convenience store or
Taqueria?
Speedway. That's nah,
Yeah.
but we back. Get Joe's
We
back.
back.
It's
We back. We here. I know it's been a while, you
so
know what I'm
many
saying?
returns like Survivor Series.
Exactly. And that's a good point, man, because that's the reason why I wanted to do it after Survivor Series, just in case there was a return. You know what I'm saying? And of course the return we're talking about is R-Truth. Nah, R-Truth, R-Truth. We're talking about Randy
Randy
Orton.
Orton.
No, not Randy Orton.
Nah.
Nah, nah. Of course, we're talking about the Chicago's finest, Phil Brooks. We all know him as CM Punk. I mean, the biggest
Sure.
thing that,
Of
you know,
course.
I mean, I don't want to go into this saying that, like, we all knew that this was going to happen, but there was, like, some intrigue going into it, right? And, you know, Vince, I kind of want to, you know, have you kind of take this part a little bit because you were there. What was the vibe walking into the Survivor Series? Like, was the anticipation there? Like, was the murmurs like,
So
yo, he's coming, or what was it like?
the crowd was fully ready for that CM Punk return on Friday Night SmackDown because they were doing CM Punk chants there. My only issue with that is that they were doing it during like the women's matches, and then they did it during the tag match between A-Town Down Under and KO and LA Knights. So the crowd from the very beginning of Friday night, you felt that the crowd was like, oh, CM Punk's gonna show up. They were like kind of like kids on Christmas Eve, like they're like waiting for that present to show up Christmas morning.
Right.
And then you get to Survivor Series itself, and then you're really getting the crowd chanting CM Punk before they even go live on TV, before they even like roll with the kickoff show or anything. When they felt an opportunity to chant CM Punk, they did it. I was one of the few that was booing the CM Punk chants because
Right,
it's
right.
like don't do it when it's something that isn't appropriate towards the Punk stuff. So, like, let's say the women are coming out to doing right. the War Games match. Don't boo there. Like, Rhea Ripley is wrestling against Zoe Stark. Don't see him Punk chant there. You know, right. that's why I boo it. But they were fully expecting it. They were fully anticipating it. And then once Randy didn't come out initially with the group, it was like, oh, there were murmurings. People were like, oh, it's going to be CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. The crowd was like, it's going to be CM Punk. He's going to show up. He's going to show up. Uh-huh. They went into the last millisecond to make it happen, but it was perfect. And when it did happen, it almost was so surreal, almost no one in the arena fully believed it. There were so many people afterwards that were like, I can't believe that shit just happened.
Right.
Like, my siblings included, they all had moments of like, what the fuck did we just experience?
Right.
My brother was saying, my brother's like, this is the best Survivor Series ever. Uh-huh. Like, how do you top the Survivor Series?
Right. And right. Shout out your brother.
Shout out to my brother Lalo. But then also, like, my sisters, Angie and Beto, they were both How do you top this experience? You don't top this experience at any wrestling show. It's like, it's all downhill from here. As Chicago wrestling fans, like, how do you top that, you know? But it was a great feeling. It was kind of like, I guess the best way to describe it, it's kind of like the Chicago Bulls or the Chicago Bears either make the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. Like, you're celebrating making it to the finals. Not yet winning the championship, but making it to that milestone, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at us. We can't even make the play-in tournament. Yeah.
Or the in-season tournament either.
Oh, my. That's what, I mean, the mid-season. That's what I mean. The mid-season.
They didn't win a single game in that in-season tournament.
And then how do you lose when you're so up? You had all those threes you made. And then we're not going to talk about basketball, though.
I have not actually talked about or watched the Bulls game since they won against Miami.
That was the last best game. That was the last best game. That was the last best game.
That was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. No, what about you, Garn? Like, were you watching their live?
So Garn, before we move on to you though, like, I want you to think like the time that you went to Money in the Bank and he won the championship compared to now, that feel.
Oh.
Because it's funny how like you two are talking about this, because you got the return, and then Garn and Charlie, shout out to the homies, they were there when he won the championship at Money in the Bank 2011.
And walked out.
Yeah. And walked out. That one was, because they had the same similar vibe. CM Punk chants were happening all throughout that arena, throughout every match. I remember even like during the, because it's also the Money Bank off the first ladder match. That's when Daniel Bryan won that one.
Yeah.
There were CM Punk's chanting through that as well. So, it was the same vibe, like in terms of what you're stating, like how they shouldn't be cheering CM Punk during these matches, right. Especially when these guys are working so hard and whatnot. But then there was like, you probably felt it, but there was a magic in the air where it's like, it's a moment where when it happens, grown men start crying, or
I mean, like, I'm sorry, yeah, but yeah,
people start fainting, kind of deal. They're dude, like, oh my dude, God, yes, oh my God.
It was crazy.
Like, you saw so many people's reactions. They're like, oh my God, they get like so excited to the point where they start tearing up. It was that kind of
one
moment.
Dude that teared up when Punk returned to wrestling at
at AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not making fun by laughing. I'm just saying, because like these reactions are so genuine, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're genuine reactions to an emotional thing, because that's what wrestling does. It invokes emotion, you know what I'm saying? And like, sometimes you reach that peak of an emotion for something you don't think is going to happen, and it happens. Like, you just can't control yourself, you know what I'm saying? So like, I can understand that. I feel that. But like, with CM Punk coming back and having that whole vibe in the arena, I mean, like, that's something that you say is the same comparison to when he won the championship. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the same place too, Allstate Arena.
Yeah,
it is the exact same place. And Allstate Arena, that place really, really echoes. Like when you cheer, it's the acoustics on it. It's like it's crazy for a crowd.
I mean, all the wrestlers say that's their favorite place to wrestle at.
Oh yeah, a lot of
Triple
people
H said it at the presser after the show.
And it's not like a PR situation too. Like if you go on record, you look it up. They all say Allstate Arena or AKA Rosemont Horizon. You know,
Horizon. Yeah, so not many.
A lot of the time, they're saying that, and they're not even doing an interview here in Chicago. A lot of the times, they're like doing an interview, like let's say in LA, New York, or whatever, where it's not like pandering to the home crowd.
Right,
they're literally just somewhere completely different. I was like, honestly, one of my favorite places is Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's probably why we get so many people coming, because you know it's the place to be.
It's like according to wrestling fans, it's kind of like one of the places you want to watch wrestling. Yeah, in terms of arenas. You know what I'm saying? But like to what you're saying though, like yeah, like I also want to say to the people that are listening, like we don't condone like people chanting CM Punk during other people's matches. Like that's not the type of wrestling, that's not the type of CM Punk fans we are, you know what I'm saying? Like when CM Punk is there and there's a time to chant, yeah, that's when you chant, but not during somebody else's match. I mean, to me that's just kind of like obnoxious. You know,
the one that crossed the line, for instance, like you start the show on SmackDown with Bayley, and I get it, people don't fuck with Bayley, but to just boo her or do a chant that's like you're within your right to chant whatever you want, you pay for your money, whatever. But if it doesn't help the story involved, like what's the point? Like chant something about Bayley to Bayley. You know, something Bayley related, something Bayley adjacent, at least.
Yeah.
You know, but CM Punk chants towards Bayley while she's trying to cut her promo isn't really helping. Then you go ahead and do that during the main event tag match on SmackDown because Bayley's in there. You're chanting it while Charlotte and Becky Lynch are in that ring. Like the crowd really worked to boo those CM Punk chants during that match, and. Like Charlotte was getting the crowd hot. Becky was trying to get the crowd hot. Like Asuka, Bayley, you have four amazing women's wrestlers. You know what? Forget the women part. Four amazing wrestlers, and you're out here chanting for CM Punk. I get it, but it's like he's not going to come out at the end of SmackDown. I was fully expecting and fully okay with CM Punk chants at Survivor Series. Just don't do it during a match. Like if you're going to direct it towards someone, like let's say, like on Raw when they did it to Seth. That one makes sense because of the temper tantrum that Seth had at the end of War Games. We'll get more into it later. But yeah, it's just like, don't do it then. And the one that really pissed me off was after the show ended, we had two dark matches. One of them was a women's title match for the title with Rhea Ripley defending her world title against Raquel Rodriguez. Mm. And they're chanting CM Punk during it. It's like, CM Punk's not coming out during the fucking SmackDown dark match. Get your shit together. Like if you don't care about this match, go to the concessions, go home. You're waiting for the final co-main event, which was a tag match of Seth and Cody versus JD and Dom.
Yeah.
You're waiting for that. Okay, be on your phone. Do something else. Don't be like detrimental to the match, you know?
Right. Buy CM Punk merchandise while you're at it or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like or be creative. Try to chant something else. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Mommy chant something.
Do you know what I'm saying? Raquel, you know, Braun Strowman and Raquel or something like that. I don't know. but for me watching it at home, I gotta say, like it was pretty crazy, you know. It's just like that meme, surprise, surprise. You know, it was like When they had that little, like, you know, the what's it called? The little copyright thing at the bottom logo, right?
And
they're still like showing Randy Orton and the whole squad in the War Game cell. I'm like, you know, I know people expect something to happen, but something like this happened before where they just did a long pan at them and then it just fade to black, right?
Yeah.
But like
exactly.
Right when that happened and all of a sudden like the music came on, like I couldn't hear the music first off. I just saw the graphic. Right?
Oh really?
And I was just like, oh shit, no way. And then he came out and I was like, look at this guy. Look like he just got done coaching a soccer league or something like here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, like a little league coach
for real, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, look at this guy here. But I gotta say, it was a surprising moment. It really was, because you know, as far as CM Punk goes, like, you know, I feel like he's always been like a catapult of like why he got back into wrestling. He got, you know, 2011 was the year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Garn, told me about that, and then Charlene became a real CM Punk fan through the documentary.
Yeah.
And I remember we saw him at C2E2 and we took a picture with him and everything like that. It was like, yeah, such a, it was like,
the pick?
We still got the pick. Yeah. Natalie got to take, he was the AEW world champion at that time.
Oh, okay.
And so like, and so we got the pick, we took pictures and everything. It was a good moment and everything like that. And like, in my mind, I'm like, man, it would have been better if he was the WWE champion, you know what I'm saying? But whatever. Oh, yeah. And now he's there, and it's crazy, you know, and it's so crazy to think that, like, now we have, like, a crazy roster. Like, WWE has a crazy roster, you know what I'm saying? And it's so crazy because looking back in the documentary, I know they posted it on social media, but I didn't know that that girl that that dad was talking about, the dad was talking for his daughter, and that daughter was Cora Jade.
Dude, that shit was wild.
Dude, I had no idea until they reposted it. I was like, holy shit, you know? Like,
but that makes so much sense because Cora Jade is from Chicago. She did the Chicago indie scene. She was
Elena Black.
Elena Black. There you go. Garn, goddamn. Garn the Dictionary. Garn the Thesaurus.
Yep. Stardom, right? She was on Stardom.
Oh, you know, I got a name. Google Garn. That's who.
There Google you go. Garn. There you go. Google Garn. Yep. Double G's. That's a good one. No, but yeah, it's so crazy. That was so crazy. And like, shout out to Cora Jade's dad too, man.
Yeah.
You know,
supporting future wrestlers there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure.
All right. Let me toss this question to you since. Since we were talking about like pops and all, do you consider this like top, let's say, three of pops from WWE in terms of like,
AJ Styles is still there. AJ Styles is still
one of the biggest.
AJ Styles is still there because that was a stadium too. You know, like Allstate Arena, like because the way Allstate Arena is built and the acoustics, it's gonna sound hella loud.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To think that AJ Styles won, because no one saw that coming, you know?
I mean, people were speculating, but it was always one of those things where it's like, oh, we don't know. Would he really show up?
You know?
He was really one of those big first pioneer wrestlers that came over from TNA that actually got to keep their name, you know? Him and Samoa Joe are like one of those guys. In terms of big pops, I mean, you also got to talk about when Triple H came back from his knee injury. What was it, like a quad?
The quad.
In Madison Square Garden, was it? He came out with the jean jacket and whatnot. You could also talk about when you said AJ Styles. We could also talk about John Cena when he returned at the Royal Rumble.
Same
he came
thing, back Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
Madison Square Garden.
That was Madison Square too. How about Edge's return from
The Royal Rumble,
The Royal Rumble. Yeah. What was it, 2020 Rumble?
Yeah, he had pyro too, so it's like.
Don't forget the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys coming back too. That's another one.
Cody. Cody.
Oh,
2 years
yeah,
ago.
Mania. Yeah,
Cody, that's another that was one. A big pop.
Wow.
There's a lot of big pops.
A lot of big pops from the last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
Starting.
No, but like. And like, and not just talking about the big pops, but like if you go down the line and look at all the history, like Survivor Series has been one of the places for either debuts or returns. You know, of course they had The Rock, they had The Rock come back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They had that. They had the, you know, what's it called? Undertaker, Gobbledygooker. You know,
The Shield.
The Shield is another one, right?
Sting made his WWE debut.
There you go, Sting. There you go.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber debuted at Survivor Series.
Yep. So Survivor Series is another one. There was a time where Survivor Series was lacking a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You know, during it definitely was. During the t-shirt era.
Oh yeah. the brand split era.
Oh my god.
No, yeah.
But before we get into Survivor Series, we do got to start this episode, even though we kind of already started it. But we got to start this the right way. Guys, since the last time you all been here, what type of wrestling fan y'all been?
I'm going to start first.
Go for it.
You guys know the movie Split with James McAvoy?
James McAvoy, yes. Yeah.
I feel like I have 21 different personalities this week for wrestling. or what was it, 21, 22? I don't remember. I forgot the number. But yeah.
Yeah.
There's moments where like, okay, yeah, Punk, I got super like beast mode when Punk came out. But then I got timid about it because is this Punk gonna be serious about being in WWE? Or is he gonna like cause trouble in the back?
Right.
Like he did with AEW. Mm-hmm. And then moments like, oh, concern, where it's like, wait, what about like Drew McIntyre, who's busted his butt this entire time, and he's gonna get pushed back again.
Right.
And then also it's like, I'd be pissed off because Seth Rollins, he's pissed off too. So it's like,
I'll talk about Seth Rollins.
I'm like pulled in all different directions on this. And then,
right.
And then it's like, oh, and then we have like, oh, the motherly one is like, oh, we got to take care of the women. The women need their time too, So it's like, I'm like pulled in all different directions with different personalities. And then I'll lump sum into one person. So let's say Split for me.
Split, I like that answer.
That's a different answer. I don't think we've ever had anyone kind of like say that they
got split personality.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Split personality wrestling fan. Multi-personality wrestling
fan. Right.
Oh my god, that shit funny. For me, I'm gonna say I'm a rejuvenated wrestling fan. And not by a lot, but honestly, going to Survivor Series, going to SmackDown, and not just like rejuvenated in terms of like wrestling, just like wrestling this weekend,
yeah,
helped rejuvenate me in general, because it was like I was having like a long week, you know when you know you have a weekend off, and like the weekdays just are grind, they're dragging and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We had Thanksgiving. So that was the thing. So I was having Thanksgiving with the in-laws. So that was a new experience. Mm. Trying to get shit done before Thanksgiving, before the show, trying to get the sign. So I was a little like stressed back and forth, stretched thin. But going to SmackDown rejuvenated me. Going to Survivor Series definitely rejuvenated me. I don't think I've been this excited for a WWE product in a long while, and then CM Punk was the steroids injection that I needed to like really get me hopped up, you know.
I got you.
I've been the only thing that's been maybe pushed way me down is just like negativity towards the Punk stuff from other people that aren't fans. But you know, I always tune that shit out. I always know I got the homies here. I got my siblings. I got Matt as well over on SmackDown Raw. So us Chicagoans, we're out here grinding. We're out here thriving. We need something positive. And like I said, Punk's return definitely rejuvenated me. You have Randy Orton. You still got great storylines with Judgment Day, Damage Control, Drew McIntyre. There's so many good storylines right now that I'm enjoying. So yeah, just rejuvenated wrestling fan.
I like that. Rebirth, you know what I'm saying? Almost.
Rebirth. Rechristened.
Rechristened. You know what I'm saying? Look at you. Like, you're like, you know, Gohan, get a couple of sensu beans and you're right back in the game. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
No, but for me, you know what I'm saying? We all know Family Guy. You know that character Quagmire, right? That's the type of wrestling fan I've been. Giggity. You know what I'm saying? You know, giggity gaggity. You know what I'm saying? You know how creepy Quagmire is? He'd be looking at like all the young girls. So, like, replace the young girls with like wrestling, right?
So young, like, wrestlers? Yeah. Hold on, pause. So, rewind. Wind that back. Try that one more time.
Just follow the metaphor. You'll replace that. Replace the young girls with wrestlers.
Metaphor?
Wrestling. You know, because like since we on this break, I'm like, I can spend time checking out different wrestling promotions, right? MLW, Impact, you know. I use it to watch New Japan, so I love what they're doing. The tag tournament there, they're building up for Wrestle Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? So I like the situation that they got. you know, of course, there's a little bit of opportunity to check out some of the other wrestling promotions I don't normally get to see, like CMML and AAA, and just try to keep up with all the other stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of wrestling fan I've been. I've been like Quagmire, you know, seeing people behind the couch and checking out what they're doing.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. Speaking of AAA, I've been wanting for like the last couple of years to actually watch Triple Mania.
Yeah.
I think we should do like a watch along, like us just watch it together and
let's
just
do
stream it. It doesn't have to be content. It could just be just for the shits and the giggles, just for us.
And you know what? If he were here, I know that there's a little bit of difficulty, but if he were here, our homie Benji actually did that. Remember, he actually did something like that, or he actually like hosted on Twitter Space a while ago about like a watch along on Twitter Space, and I think it was I know it was AAA, but I don't think it was Triple Mania. It was the one where Okada and not Okada. It was with Andrade and
And Kenny.
And Kenny Omega. Yeah.
Yeah, Triple Mania. Yeah.
Was it Triple Mania? Okay, it was Triple Mania.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, I think it was Triple Mania from like last year or 2 years ago.
It was like during the it was just coming out of the COVID era. So
Okay.
So around 2020. Ago. Yeah, you're right. Probably last year, 2021, maybe. Yeah. But And so, maybe we could do something like that, you know, say a future project, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Keep the possibilities open, for sure.
Yeah, but going right into it, since we're on mostly talking about Survivor Series, a little bit of Raw. And
wait, NXT. Hold up.
What's up?
Hey, Benji, what kind of wrestling fan have you been? Oh, wait, no, I think he fell asleep, guys. I think he's asleep. Benji, it's okay. Hold up. Let me go ahead. I'm gonna tuck Benji into bed. You know, I'm gonna make sure he has his bear blanket. I'm gonna make sure he's got all his snuggies and whatnot. But like, go ahead. Sorry, Justin, I didn't mean to cut you off.
All right, I got Benji, you.
You good? Let me get you some milk too.
So speaking, since we're on Survivor Series, what's it gonna do? Our winners and losers of Survivor Series, Raw, and if you got anything for NXT.
Okay, cool. I'll just kick things off with SmackDown / Survivor Series, and I'm gonna give a winner to Dragon Lee. I'm gonna do a winner and loser together because I don't want to waste time here. Winner to Dragon Lee and the loser to Carlito, because after this Rey Mysterio stuff, you know, Santos needed an opponent for Survivor Series. Originally, it was gonna be Carlito. And he got attacked. He got jumped right in front of us on SmackDown, got injured. And then he was then replaced by Dragon Lee. They had a really good match at the pay-per-view, Dragon Lee versus Santos. So Dragon Lee is getting a winner because he's out here being highlighted on the PLE.
Right.
He's got that spot. Yes, he didn't get the win. But look, I don't think it's going to hurt him. Him putting on a good show with Santos is really good. So that is what gives him the winner, because he got that spot. And then Carlito, I'm giving him a loser just because he lost his spot to Dragon Lee. I'm sure they're going to circle back to Carlito versus Santos like in a week or two, maybe even this Friday night on SmackDown on this week.
Right.
But it's probably going to be a SmackDown match now. I don't think it'll be a PLE.
You know, my thing with that is that, like, I know a lot of people have wanted Carlito to come and be a player in SmackDown or Raw, wherever he's going to be. But, like, looking at it right now, like, do you feel going forward, like, he's just going to be used like this and not really given, an actual spot storyline and just keep messing around with just Santos and Dragon Lee? And
I think this is all he's going to be. I don't think they're ever going to, like, best case scenario is that they put the U.S. title on him, or maybe he gets into a tag team with someone and gets a tag title run. I don't really see him actually winning anything major, unfortunately, which kind of sucks.
Right.
But they go ahead and change his theme song, so that's number one. So then you kind of just immediately forget that that's Carlito right away.
Yeah, because, right.
Then from there, it's like they signed him after Backlash. They didn't really use him until like they felt the opportunity was right. And then they used him. But then, like, as a member of LWO, but then he's not really repping LWO. Right. Like, there's the Puerto Rican flag version of LWO shirt. So I was hoping he'd at least wear that, but he doesn't wear that. He just rocks his shirt, which kudos to you, man. Like, rock your Carlito shirt, because you get all the royalties from that shirt. Yeah. But you don't. But if you wear the LWO shirt, you're sharing all those royalties with every single member of LWO. So I get it. You get more money if you sell your Carlito shirt. But it's like, that was always a pet peeve of mine. And I just that don't think sense. They're handling. Yeah, I just don't think they're handling him correctly. They're kind of, you know what they're doing? They're doing like that whole storyline back in the day. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. But when John Cena was forced to join the Nexus, but he wasn't rocking Nexus shirts.
Yeah.
He was still rocking his purple Cena shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, like, wear the fucking LWO stuff, dude. Like, right. I don't know. I think this is as most you were going to get from him. Best case, his run is going to be what Shelton Benjamin was when they brought him in. Tag team with Chad Gable. Yeah, it's going to be a tag team with Chad Gable. Maybe a member of a faction like he was with Hurt Business. And he's going to be eventually gone. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame because like no. if you're not gonna use him for that, I like just use him for promos or something like that. Like because he's really good on the mic. Garn, what are your winners and losers?
All right. I'm gonna give a unique winner. I'm gonna say winner is friendship. Because we saw a friendship renewed with Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yes.
I like that. I had that on my list.
Which has been like an ongoing feud.
It's been a while, like 3 or 4 years.
It's a couple years for falling out and then finally reunited and finally like bearing the hatchet and actually, be friendly again in a way. So kind of missed that those moments with them, and then obviously, I would say loser though. Since you already mentioned it, right now, based off what Vince is saying right now, it's LWO completely because as a whole because with Ray out, Santos leaving, breaking out of the team. Mm-hmm. Carlito, I think, is out injury-wise, too.
Storyline-wise, yes.
Storyline-wise, but not, like, real. Well, we'll see. But what's next for LWO? And it doesn't seem like a clear path right now.
Unfortunately. I think the only bright side right now with LWO is maybe adding a new member. And I think I've been saying this for the longest, that Dragon Lee should take that Santos spot in LWO.
Okay.
I think that would definitely fit. It would give Dragon Lee something to do. It would give him more motivation for other storylines, except aside from just, hey, he's a really good wrestler. I'm in a match with another really good wrestler, and we're gonna have a really good wrestling match.
Right. Because
that's right now his gimmick right now. That and Rey christening him the future of Lucha Libre, and then him defending Rey's honor. But I'm with Garn right now. LWO are losers because like they haven't really done much. Like the return was a little lackluster. Like the night before the Hall of Fame last year, and right. I don't know. I hate to see it because I went to Survivor Series with my fiance all geared up in LWO and shit. Mm-hmm. But it be what it be. And then I'm agreeing with Garn here. I like the reunion of Charlotte and Becky. I'm glad they're back on their dating stage and trying to like rekindle their relationship because that's something that they haven't done is team together main roster like at this level because they teamed up together when they first got called up with Paige and their little faction warfare with all the other women but this way I could legitimately see them being a tag team challenging for those tag titles at WrestleMania winning them there.
Yeah,
I don't think Becky's been a tag team champion.
Big time queens would be the tag team. Big time queens.
I think before they were called Tea Time. They were called each other.
Oh my gosh! Yes, Tea Time. Yep.
Yeah, they did the little like
tea. Yeah, the little tea. Yep. I forgot about that.
FYI, Becky Lynch did win the tag team championship. Just FYI.
with Trish, right?
Oh, with Lita. With Lita.
Oh,
with Lita.
Oh yeah, with Lita.
Right. Yeah. Well, it'd be the first time they won it together.
Yeah, true. I was gonna say, so for me, right? Yeah, I gotta say the winner obviously is I'm just tagging with you, Garn. Friendship, right? Because ever since Kairi Sane showed up, there was like this whole thing about is Kairi Sane and Bayley, are they gonna get along? And, you know, yeah, Kyrie saying forgave Bayley for what happened, you know, back during the COVID Thunderdome era. And now, and then she said, not only do I forgive you, I put myself into this group, you know. So like, friendship definitely is all. Is
you gotta
all
add Asuka to it as well.
Yeah, with Asuka as well. Yep. Exactly.
Rekindled friendships there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it's about, friendships. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's a positive message to live on.
Yeah. Everybody in the back, you know, happy that CM Punk is back. Friendships, you know? Friendships,
man. We don't need fatalities. We have friendships.
Look at, yeah, Triple H.
There you go, man.
I like that. I like that. But yeah. Okay, if I had to give a loser. And this is so I know you talked about this because we were talking about the group chat, but I heard a lot of, I also saw this on Twitter and Reddit as well. WWE's shop at Survivor Series was kind of whack,
bro. That fucking superstore was superstore, butt cheeks. Yeah. It was butt cheeks, bro. It was the I don't know if you guys have been to the fashion outlet over there at Rose.
Yeah, we've been there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By the Big Ten.
Yeah. So when you go there, they had like this Harley Davidson store. I don't know if you've ever seen the Harley Davidson store.
It was just the first floor.
You go inside the Harley Davidson store, and it's the left side of the store, and then the right side is Harley Davidson stuff. Literally 2/3 of the store is Harley Davidson stuff, and then like 1/3 of the store is WWE stuff. They barely had any shirts. They had less variety than the merch stand at WWE. They didn't have no championship belts. They didn't have no like fucking hoodies, no jackets. They only had like three pieces of memorabilia: Stone Cold Steve Austin's vest, The Undertaker Ministry of Darkness like trench coat thingy, and Hot Rod Roddy Piper's like leather jacket. That's all the fuck they had.
What?
They didn't have any pins. They didn't have any other knickknacks and paddywhacks. Nothing.
So the store was in a Harley Davidson store?
Yes. They sectioned off the left side of the Harley Davidson store, which was only 1/3 of the entirety of the entire store.
That's gonna be like a wrestling. Yeah, that's gonna like no, like that has nothing to do with wrestling. I mean, well, if you're the American Badass Undertaker, you know,
maybe. Or but the, I don't know why they
picked, DOA or DOA they... DOA maybe, you know.
DOA. Barry Corbin that one time.
Barry Corbin.
Jesus. Nah, man. Chuck Palumbo.
Palumbo. Yeah, there you go.
Shout out to Chuck Palumbo. Nah, but it was fucking whack, man. It was horrible, not man.
There was no Survivor Series memorabilia from like any era, like, you know.
Nah. God. Nah. It was fucking whack. Like
why is it a Harley Davidson store?
I think my apartment was bigger than the fucking superstore.
Whoever was in charge of that superstore, like, yo, you need to talk to us.
On superstore.
You need to talk to us and figure out where.
Get your merch up.
Yeah, bro. Come on, man.
Wait. I just don't get why they did it in Harley Davidson. Why they couldn't have just
maybe it was done a sponsor. It like... maybe it was the only sponsor in that mall. You know.
Like, yeah, why can't they know. Just? I bet you there's like an empty like space in the mall.
Oh, for sure. I'm pretty sure there would have been.
Why could they?
I guarantee there was an empty space.
You know where they should have went? They should have took it a couple miles the other way and went to Woodfield. Because they would have had hella fans go there.
Yeah.
Like how AEW does their Schaumburg one too.
Right.
Where they do like
a little meet and greet pop up station there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a mini Wizard World or a mini C2E2.
It should have been.
Like a travel sized version of C2E2.
It could
I was hyping it up to Melissa. I was telling her, I'm like, man, I'm getting my fiance. It like revved up and ready to go. We're going to go Friday. We're going to go
look at the Elimination Chamber. You know,
Yeah, we're gonna go. We're gonna go Sunday because we're not gonna be able to see everything. So we're gonna go every single day. I'm glad. All right, hold on.
Don't mean to cut you off. Let's do a little impromptu, like impromptu sweaty session on a superstore here in Chicago if they had one through what you're saying, Vince.
All right, hold up one sec.
And now, sweaty session.
Thank you, Char. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, now that you said this, Garn, they could have used one of the empty ballrooms in the Hyatt, because the Hyatt's not far from there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They could use one of the rooms. Not the convention center, because that would have been too big, but like they could use one of the rooms at the Hyatt.
Exactly.
Did they just want more people to come into, was it
the Harley Davidson store?
The Harley Davidson store? The dueling piano bar next door?
Oh my gosh. No, but like if there were to be a superstore catered to Survivor Series, yeah, I would, if you can't get the Elimination Chamber in there, at least a part of it, you know what I'm saying? Like at least maybe the entranceway, half of the Elimination Chamber if you could.
You know what they could do at least? They could at least have an Elimination Chamber pod. So you can see what it'd be like to be inside one of them.
There you go.
You know what they could do? They could do a corner of like whatever room they're in like a corner of the Elimination Chamber to kind of get a feel of how it feels to be.
There's going to be like a little picture thing that you take a picture.
Yeah.
You
know
what I'm saying? Picture of the pod.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could have a giant egg with a gobbledygooker that comes out inside of it. That'd be something. Yeah.
They could have the old school like entrance for Survivor Series where I come through that cheap ass curtain. Remember they had that blue ass curtain and they would
Oh, remember when they had, I can't remember what year it was, but it was like the one with the skull, like it was themed after Stone Cold.
Yes. Oh, it was the Deadly Games. Remember?
Deadly Games.
Yeah, the tournament. Yeah, dude.
Yes.
You can have an area where you're like on the ring, and then like you can have a fake Vince McMahon spin on you, so he knows how it feels to be Bret Hart. the opposite way around. Like you're getting spin on by Bret Hart, so he knows how to feel to be Vince McMahon. You know, so
there you go. Or that could be a Vince McMahon. You can pretend to be Bret Hart and spin at him. There's also that. You can
have a Vince McMahon stand in and then punch him like Bret Hart did. You know what I'm saying? Like
there you go. Speaking of stand-ins, you can have like kind of like talking about props. We mentioned it about famous returns and debuts. Why not have like Sting's trench coat with the bat and stuff from his from a Survivor Series debut? You can have the Shield like SWAT uniforms from when they first debuted with like the turtleneck.
But it was a turtleneck, yeah. So it'd just be turtlenecks.
It'd just be turtlenecks. You can wear them out, cosplay as Christian Cage, talk about people's dead dads, talk about hitting on their moms, you know?
That's true.
Man, those turtlenecks, they're like too close to like security.
Actual security?
Back then they had old security. All of them had long sleeves.
They can bring out props that were going to be used, because supposedly the Shield were going to debut with actual shields with their logo on it. So you could have like kind of like the concept like shields
right. The sample, it's the sample for the actual product.
The mixtape. Oh man, so stuff like that they could have done, done stuff like that.
They didn't have any shirts from the eras, like you know, the different font logos and all that. Like
now that I can recall, I was kind of, we were so disappointed. We kind of just kind of went in and out. They had a lot of like Cody Rhodes. They had some Roman Reigns. They had some Jey Uso. They only had one Judgment Day shirt, and it's that white one, the new one that they debuted at that Survivor Series. But they only had it in two sizes because I guess they ran out. But there wasn't a lot of variety. Yeah. They had like, go ahead, Gordon.
I was thinking like, remember when like the Bulls won their championships and they have their faces on those T-shirts.
Yes,
they should have one for Survivor Series. They should have one for Survivor Series for each era, for each matchup.
Yeah,
and so we have the kid version, like that version for every year.
Yeah, yeah, like every like WWE, let's say main event 505
for marketing.
It's okay. Just yeah, we'll end up doing it. That'll be like one of the Getcho shirts that we put on sale. It's like one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do something War Games related, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Put us in shark cages, like in War Games.
Yeah. Man, that's that. They dropped the ball. Because I saw. Now we're ending the sweaty session. But like, yeah. I saw that they dropped the ball with that. And I was kind of like disappointed because, you know, you see the other cities that do a superstore and it's like, damn, they got that. And it was just only like not even the one of the big four, you know? But I don't know. That's just us being us, maybe because we wanted something, you know, for Chicago. But going back on winners and losers, I gotta say Rhea Ripley is a big winner for me because a lot of people have kind of like downplayed her title ring as not really being like a true women's title ring just because mm-hmm. she's kind of mostly in segments and stuff. But you know, when she's in matches and she has to defend her title, she's like goes all out. You know, she really performs. And it's not mm-hmm. to say that, like, her matches aren't good. Maybe her partners just aren't on her level, you know?
That's true.
And some of her partners, and not a discredit to Raquel or any of the ones that she had a match with, it's just that she's put in more time than some of them have.
Okay.
You know?
Let's look at the opponents she's had since she's won the title off of Charlotte at WrestleMania. She had Selena Vega. That was a great moment. But aside from that, then you have Raquel Rodriguez, who unfortunately just isn't that over or interesting as a character. Then you also have someone like Natty at Crown Jewel, and it's like, as much as you want to give props to Natty for being the vet, being this long-standing staple in the women's division, but it's like no one gives a fuck about Natty, to be honest.
right.
Sure. And you have Zoe Stark, and this is probably like a good matchup right there in terms of all mm-hmm. this young up and comer and stuff, but they didn't really do much with the build as well. So it's like, how do you, like, again, it's like, how do you expect it to be a very exciting build when a lot of the women over on the Raw side of things aren't a lot of big names? All the big names are on SmackDown, if you really think about it. The only big match they've teased is Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even come close to tangling or intertwining whatsoever in the ring. So there's that aspect of it. But what people need to realize is that Rhea Ripley is getting to that level where she's transcending the women's division.
Right.
She's just a superstar regardless, because she's the leader of Judgment Day. I don't give a fuck what Judgment Day say. Rhea Ripley is the leader. She runs Judgment Day.
Yep.
She's always making the big time decisions. She's always in every segment. She's in a Dom match. People always complain. It's like, why is she a valet, a Dom? It's like, she's in the matches. She's in the corners. She's mm-hmm. a big reason why they're winning matches, why they're getting shit done, is because of Rhea Ripley. If it wasn't for Rhea Ripley, Judgment Day would be falling apart. And I think that solidifies and cements her place in the division, in the company, in the roster.
Oh, 1,000%. She's definitely in that territory where, like, yeah, I can see her in the Men's Royal Rumble, you know?
Yeah.
So shout out to Rhea Ripley. So, winner for me. And I actually got, like, a double winner, too, because Zoe Stark. You know, a lot of people kind of, like, downplayed her being with Trish, saying that this might kill her opportunity for going solo and getting her time in. But I think it helped her a lot because she was definitely ready. She was definitely ready. Like when it came down to her match with Rhea, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know whatever Trish gave her mentoring and learning under the tree of Trish Stratus, like, I know she probably learned a lot because she was definitely ready for that time. Because a lot of people have given that opportunity, like Zoe Stark, and they just kind of fumbled the bag, like, under the pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, it happened with Raquel, and nothing against Zelina Vega, but, like, you know, Zoe showed that, like, yeah, I can stand on my own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For me, a winner, I'd have to give it to the city of Chicago, because the Chicago Bears are a fucking disgrace. The Chicago Bulls are an embarrassment. So Chicago's finally winning. They got a big winner. They had a great successful Survivor Series weekend. Mm-hmm. CM Punk returned. That's probably, the, like I said, this is probably like the biggest thing to happen to Chicago since like Derrick Rose in the playoffs, like back in 2011 in his MVP.
Maybe since the Cubs winning
the World Series. Yeah. You know, Chicago sports are in the mud right now, but CM Punk came out. He's rejuvenating us. It's giving us someone to cheer for at Chicago.
Yes.
So Chicagoans in general, you know, we're winners right now because we got one of our own back in the big boy stadium, you know?
Right.
Seeing where things go.
What about you, Garn? You got any more?
You took my last one for Chicago, but I was going to mention, like, it was a good wrestling week for Chicago, not only for WWE. AEW was there, too.
Yeah.
I forget.
So, but it's in terms of if you're a wrestling fan, you got wide variety of wrestling that whole week.
That's true.
So.
I will say, I will say the Final Four match for the on NXT. That I thought that was really good with Wesley winning it, you know what I'm saying? I thought that was a good Final Four. Dragunov, dude, you know what I'm saying? That was a great match with him. The segment with Roxanne backstage in the parking lot, dude, like what? NXT is on a wave right now.
Yeah, for sure. Quick rapid fire winners here. I'm gonna give a winner to Swerve Strickland because he's been popping off. He's probably one of the hottest things over in AEW. Timeless Toni Storm, she's a winner because she's out here. She found a gimmick because that's one thing about Toni Storm. From the moment I saw her in the Mae Young Classic when she won it, you were always thinking like, hey, she's a good wrestler. She's got a good look to her, but she just needs a gimmick, like a character, and she's found it.
Yep.
Santos Escobar, him breaking away from LWO, he's looking like a guy that could be in that upper mid card now. Not world title material yet, but he's looking better than guys like an Austin Theory or Grayson Waller and what have you. He's looking better than guys like Pete Dunne or Butch or whatever. He's looking good as a mid-card type of guy. And it's all because he broke away. Triple H said it in the press conference. You know, he broke away. We're trying to get him to that level. And another winner, and the final winner for me, is going to be Shinsuke Nakamura because they've been nailing this heel, like, Yokazi boss character from him, where he's, like, cutting his promos in Japanese with the subtitles. And he's been calling someone out for the last couple of weeks, and we saw on Raw, he was talking about Cody. He red-misted him on Raw. This is going to be a big profile match for Shinsuke Nakamura, and I'm so excited for all these people.
I'm more excited the fact that Shinsuke Nakamura is having like back-to-back like rivalries now instead of just like one and then maybe
you don't see him for like 8 months.
There's peaks and valleys because there was a giant valley there where he was like feuding with every single member of Alpha Academy for like 3 weeks in a row.
So
there was that.
But it's still exposure though.
That's 1,000%.
It's all exposure. You barely had him before, so.
How can we forget big winners? R-Truth, Randy Orton coming back. Randy Orton,
of course.
That was his show on Monday. That was his show. He had a good showing with Dom Mysterio. Dom Mysterio doing the job, helping putting over the young returning talent, you know, making sure as the veteran of the locker room.
Right. Making sure everything's all good, you know?
Yeah, he's making sure Randy looks strong. He's making sure he looks strong or
whatever. And Dom, because the level of wrestling that Dom is at right now, he was not okay with the table not breaking. So he's like, Randy, pick me up again. Let's do this again. You know?
Yeah, there you go. So, there you go.
You know, good call on Dom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dom's a good locker room leader. Dom's the locker room leader in the AEW.
I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
But I will say, and this is a little bit of Austin theory, right?
Okay.
I feel the team, Triple H probably more is into this. I feel since WWE doesn't have that attraction, I wonder if they're testing it with Shinsuke Nakamura. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking like attraction, like big attraction, like Undertaker and everything. Because, like, you know, the Undertaker attraction, like, took years. Even the Bray Wyatt thing took years to develop, right? I wonder if they're trying something with Shinsuke Nakamura to kind of be a somewhat attraction-like character. You know? And I'm just saying, just because of the way the vignettes are prepared, the way the people that he's having rivalries with, you know, Nakamura, say what you want, maybe his WWE career, like, he has a lot of L's, but I don't think he really cares for wins or L's anymore. It's just, he's already a name. I mean, he was a name before coming into WWE, so now I feel like maybe that's what they're doing with him. Is that too much of a stretch, or what do y'all feel?
You know what? I like your little Austin theory, and I like the little, like, yellow brick road you're getting on there. let me get on it with you. We can talk to this wizard.
Come on, let's go. I'll oil your knees. What? Pause.
But you know what? I like it, and I can see it too, because if you think about it, when he was in NXT, was he not an attraction? He didn't show up every single week on NXT. He was like special attraction guy for NXT. Then when he became champion, he would have his vignettes and stuff. And we do his segments to build up matches, but if he didn't have to build up a match, you wouldn't see him for like 2 weeks, three weeks.
Until the next takeover.
Until the next takeover. So yeah, Shinsuke has all the makings of being an attraction talent, and you could definitely build him up that way. Him being older was probably to his benefit. Mm-hmm. The thing that popped me the most about his promo was that he said, I'm bringing the chaos, or I'm bringing chaos.
Oh,
and as we all know, as us, as our New Japan hearts, snap. We know,
this is a double Austin theory. This is a double Austin theory.
I'm double dipping on your Austin theory.
Okay.
You know, it may not be always be okay to double dip your chips, but by all means, double dip on Austin theories. But my Austin theory is that he's going to slowly bring in his own, like, chaos faction. And I've been wanting this for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's been rumors that Kazuchika Okada
could
be available. That they're trying to sway him.
Going into last call, news and rumors.
Perfect.
He hasn't signed yet. He hasn't agreed on a new contract. Okada has not agreed on a new contract. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are thinking that he might go AEW. For me, personally, I feel like Okada might be like, I already did AEW, you know?
Yeah.
I already did that. And he's already doing something with Daniel Bryan. What's a place I haven't done yet, you know? And I'm not saying that, like, WWE has close relationships with New Japan, you know, like that. I mean, maybe they do, but they don't have anyone really close with Okada. But maybe somebody could sway him. Somebody could sway him, you know, saying he's the rainmaker. Maybe give him a lot of rain, you know, saying send him the truck. Just to do like one or two big matches?
Listen,
all I'm asking. You know, that's all
I'm when asking. Everyone was talking about Will Ospreay maybe getting some entrance from WWE, I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. It'd mostly be for like dream matches against Ricochet or Seth Rollins or maybe in AJ Styles. But Okada is really the guy that we've seen. He can play characters. He can play a character. And imagine, because we watched TNA or Impact or whatever, they had Main Event Mafia with Kurt Angle, Sting, Scott Steiner, Booker T, Kevin Nash. Yeah. They could do something like a hybrid of what Main Event Mafia was and what Chaos is in New Japan. Bring that together with an Okada and a Shinsuke. They can be like these fucking, like, mob bosses.
Main event Yakuza.
Yes, but... There you go.
Okay. I'm with it.
There you go. I know they're tapped into Young Kings Wrestling, but hopefully they tap into this Austin theory too.
Hey, you never know, man. You never know. Yeah. I'm down. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really. Now I'm intrigued because he said chaos. But yeah, what are your thoughts? You think that's too much of a stretch, Garn, or?
Oh, this would be interesting.
See, the only reason why I think this could happen, because everything that I thought could, that would never happen, happened. You know what I'm saying? Like,
happened. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, well, it's that the opportunity is happening because well, Ospreay left. No one thought he would really leave New Japan per se, but it's just my question is like, say if Okada did leave, how would WWE handle it? Would they actually put him in NXT first? Because
No,
if
I don't think
Shinsuke
so.
went to NXT, if Shinsuke went to NXT, he was a former
I
champion.
mean, maybe he would
They
go to
might have
NXT to
him.
train, but I don't think he would be an NXT
Because I
wrestler,
don't think
you
he
know?
really needs to train. I think it would be more or less just to learn the TV side of things.
And then
Or,
English.
yeah. But they've been doing these Japanese promos with Shinsuke. Honestly, all you really have to do is kind of do a better version of what AEW tried to do with Andrade and Rush. You know, this is my guy from way back when. We used to be in a faction. Now we're making a faction. Honestly, you don't have to overthink it
That's
really with
yeah.
Okada, because
Yeah.
Shinsuke didn't have someone on the main roster that you can just pair him up with right away
Right.
and then go
But
from
yeah,
there.
but my counter argument with AEW is with Rush and Andrade, they did have a mouthpiece. They still
They
have a
had a mouthpiece.
mouthpiece. So
But I think
they
WWE is
could
okay
always,
with not having the
yeah.
mouthpiece, you know.
I think it would
I think it would work without the mouthpiece. Like maybe they could eventually get one, but I don't know. You know what they
like
do?
with them, yeah. Go
What
ahead.
you do? You bring in Jimmy Wang Yang, and he
Oh
plays the
my God!
mouthpiece. Jimmy
Shot,
Wang
shout out to
Yang.
his sister, his daughter. His daughter's wrestling too right now.
Really?
Yeah, her
Awesome.
daughters are in the independent scene. Like I think she's 19 or 20, but yeah, she's wrestling.
All right.
Yeah, yeah,
Get a
yeah, yeah.
redneck,
Bring Jimmy
get a
Wang.
redneck, get Asian, pair it up with the Yakuza bosses.
On, dude. Let's
That's
go.
money.
It's
Money.
money. It's
Bring Jimmy.
money.
Money. It's got money.
Bring Jimmy. Are you gonna
You
try to
could
bring Jimmy Wang
also you could
Yang?
say it'd be rain making money almost.
Hell
Oh
no.
man.
Hell no. But moving on, that'll be dope. Okay, so like the CM Punk thing, everybody is talking about like how much viewers he got. He got like 71 million, I think, something like around there for the
Yeah, I got
but
about 70 million of those,
Just
trying to get the
overplaying it
numbers
many
up.
times, overplaying it many times.
Yeah.
But
Watching it
yeah.
on all my laptop and all my devices.
It was the most watch,
Autoplay.
you know what I'm saying? It was the most watch, most talked about. I think they said it crashed. Did it crash their YouTube thing? I don't know if it did that. That's a
I
little
don't think
bit
it did
of a
that.
stretch.
No, but.
There's also other things too about, I mean, I know it's been some time since we had an episode, but they had Ronda Rousey show up at ROH.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was another big thing,
I mean,
I
like, I
guess.
mean, I'm happy that, because I mean, she came into the being a wrestling fan, so for her to continue her wrestling esque career, okay, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Just chill out a little bit. That's all I gotta say.
That happened was the thing.
Yeah, that happened. Other than that, I mean, I really don't have anything else. Unless Garn, I know you mentioned something about babies being born.
Yeah. It looks like there's like a batch of, if we're talking about news and rumors, these are all news though, but a lot of wrestling babies were born recently with congratulations to Sammy Guevara and Ty Conte. Their baby girl was born. Alexa Bliss, Carmella was recently too, and then I think Drew Brees had a baby, so there was
Wait,
a
Drew
lot of
Brees or
wrestlers
Tyler
who,
Breeze?
oh Tyler Breeze, I'm sorry, Tyler Breeze, I'm
I was
sorry,
like, Drew
Drew
Brees?
Brees,
How does that relate to wrestling?
Tyler Breeze,
I mean, kudos to
Tyler
him.
Breeze, yeah. And then upcoming too is what was it Billie Kay is having
Okay.
a baby soon,
Shout out, shout out.
is having her baby soon, so yeah, so it's a lot, it's like a lot of new new generation of wrestling fans or wrestlers.
This is going to be basically the next NFT call-up roster right here in like 20, 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of babies, I just saw this. Great Muda's daughter is also going to be appearing at Pro Wrestling Noah in 2024. Okay. She's known as the Great Sakuya. Oh. So shout out to her. Shout out to her.
Okay, all right. That's something.
That's something. But speaking of something.
Yeah, it's that time,
it's
right?
It's that time. It's that time.
And now, Sweaty Session.
We had two sweaty sessions going on.
Yeah, we're double dipping on the sweaty session. Look at all these double dips.
All these double dips. We're good. Since Thanksgiving passed, we decided maybe we should have a little fun with it and just be like, you know, if wrestlers were to give a Thanksgiving speech at their household or wherever they decide to have Thanksgiving, it could be like a Thanksgiving promo or whatever. Just like if you were a wrestler, you know, giving a speech on Thanksgiving, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Garn. You go first.
I'm winging mine right now. I have it fresh in my mind. So I just, this came to mind because I just recently listened to another podcast from Chris Van Vliet. He was interviewing Zach Gowen. That's a name that you haven't heard in a long time. So
shout out to Zach Gowen.
So I will do like a, I'm thinking like his, he would be still sitting down because he can't really stand up. Doing his speech, thank you for Thanksgiving, stating like he's very grateful for all the opportunities that's been given to him when he was just an audience member, and then being able to, even though he's going through a lot of struggles by literally being thrown into the ring, thrown into danger, thrown downstairs, but he always had a leg up. Everything while he's holding one turkey leg in his hand, so eating it.
The one legged turkey.
Beyond grateful for all the opportunities given to him and his contract. So thank you.
Okay, I like that one. I like it. I'm gonna do it. Okay, so Sir Swerve Strickland. If he was at the Thanksgiving table, he'd be like, I just want to thank Vince McMahon for just getting rid of B-Fab and then slowly but surely getting rid of what was the name of their faction? I'm trying to blank out their faction.
Hit Row,
thank you. I was like, and I want to thank every member of Hit Row that just kind of flopped because we ended up going on the indie scenes and you guys made me realize that I really need to go on my own. I don't need no top dollar because I am the top dollar bill attraction in pro wrestling. Not me. I also want to thank Ashanti the Adonis for just not having the character and just making me not want to hang out with him outside of WWE and instead of wrestling, doing my own thing. I want to thank Tony Khan for allowing me to be one of the few black wrestlers he actually likes and promotes on his show so I can be on TV. And I want to thank Hangman Adam Page for giving me a white man and hang before the holidays. So that was great to do. And last but not least, I would like to thank Prince Nana because without his dance, I don't think I'd be as over as I am right now. So
I
that's drive, what I'm thankful for.
I swerve.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, I like that.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
So there's that.
For me, imagine if Randy Savage had to give a Thanksgiving speech, you know, saying super like,
oh yeah,
dig oh it. Yeah, Elizabeth. Yeah. Thank you for the turkey and the thighs so I can drop my elbow with the green casserole because I'm the macho king. Yeah.
You almost made me do a spit take with my wife. Oh, so yeah, man.
You guys have another one?
Okay. I got another one.
Okay, okay.
Santos Escobar at the Thanksgiving dinner. He's going to sit there and be like, you know what? I'm thankful for Carlito for being a snitch, because without him, I don't think I would have mustered up the courage to turn on Rey Mysterio like I've been wanting to do for the last month and a half. I want to thank Rey Mysterio for allowing me to get some extra merchandise money by including me in LWO just so I can turn on him and use them to advance my career. But first and foremost, I want to thank Dominic Mysterio, because without him, I wouldn't have realized how right he was about Rey Mysterio, how much of a deadbeat dad he was, how much of a terrible mentor he was, and how much of a backstabbing friend he was when he chose Carlito over me. So I'm thankful for all the people that got me where I am today.
Nice.
Does Santo also think that Sheamus is the best mass lucha wrestler in the world?
Yes. Santos would also like to say that he's thankful for the greatest mass wrestler in the world, Sheamus. Rest up, big buddy. Get back to SmackDown soon.
All right. So imagine if MJF had to be give a Thanksgiving speech. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And he would start off by like, it's funny because there's a lot of tears and pain shed through Thanksgiving. But there's tears and pain because I'm here. I'm here because I'm what makes Thanksgiving great. You know, I just upgraded your food. I went away with the turkey. I went to kafilka fish. I went to matzo ball soup because that's what I'm here. And I'm better than you, and you know it.
Okay, okay, okay. I like it.
You could also say that for Colt Cabana too. So, but that's fine.
Let's get all of them.
I got one for Bailey.
Okay.
So I'm very thankful for the nose ring I am wearing all the time now. So it shows that I'm a badass and not a hugger anymore. And thank you, Vince McMahon, for allowing me to show my tattoos so I could not be a little kid anymore and play a little kid as a wrestler. Thank you to Dakota Kai and Io Sky, Io Shirai. Either, I don't know why they call her Sky anymore, but who cares? But thank you for joining up with me. And thank you, Kairi Sane and Asuka, for not kicking me in the face, even though I kicked you in the face many times during the COVID era. And finally, thank you to Mercedes Moné for leaving so I could take the spotlight finally. Even though the spotlight is shining to other people on my team, but still, I got it. I still got most of it.
Okay.
This is gonna be my last one, so it's gonna be Val Venus giving a Thanksgiving speech. Hello, ladies. Let me give you another reason to feel thankful this year. You can stuff me like a Thanksgiving turkey. Don't worry, ladies. The Big Lebowski, it's hot. It's a new turkey spread. Spread the legs, because I'm going down the middle, eating all the cranberry sauce. Wait, ladies, I know you brought the mitts, because I'm too hot to handle.
Wait, did you say Val Venus wants to get stuffed?
Whatever floats his boat.
I think he should be the one saying that he wants to stuff.
Yeah,
Whatever floats his boat.
I mean, who are we to judge?
Hey, you know, everyone has their own fetish. You know what I'm saying?
All right. As the visionary, the architect, the revolutionary that I am. It's very hard to be thankful for many things, but I want to be thankful for a few people. And I want to thank Philly Boy, Philly Phil Brooks, CM Punk, because without him, I don't think I would be able to have a new troll gear. So with CM Punk here, I have now someone to troll with a new gear I did it with Rey Mysterio. I did it with Roman Reigns. I did it with Matt Riddle. I did it with just about every single person I can think of. I've trolled them with a wrestling gear. And you know what? Billy Boy, you're not as safe. I don't know. Maybe I'll do some Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe I'll have some Young Bucks or maybe some tassels on my boots. But I have a gear inspired just for you. And with you here, all my hate is directed towards you. So I can distract myself from how terrible the Bears are. And I can forget about tweeting how much I hate football. And I can just do my customary I hate Phil tweets instead. And thanks to you, you probably locked in that I'm going to main event WrestleMania Night 1 when I drop my title to you in Philadelphia. Oh. So, Phil, I'm thankful to you. Thank you for giving me a main event program at WrestleMania. Oh. Thank you for giving me a program with someone and giving me a little bit of interest since the first time I became champion.
Oh, damn. Fingers that.
Okay.
That was good, guys. That was good.
Good. That was good.
I got one more.
You got one more? All right.
Go ahead. Just go.
I was going to say, I don't know how you going to talk. That was good, though.
That's the game. Triple H, the cerebral assassin, the CCCOOO of WWE. And whatever other title I give myself, you know, booking isn't easy, but when you have people like Tony Khan to be thankful for, to make your job easier, that's what I'd like to dedicate my Thanksgiving to. I want to thank Tony Khan because his disagreements with the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes led him to leave AEW, the company he helped found, that pissant company that he created. He decided to come over here with the main eventers over here at WrestleMania. And you know what? Cody, he's going to finish his story in WWE, and that wouldn't be possible without Tony Khan. So, Tony, I thank you. I also want to thank you for misusing Jade Cargo and never really training her to be a proper pro wrestler in the ring and never giving her proper programming and TV time on your program so that now I can bring her into my performance center and get her exposure, make her a giant star, and now I'm gonna have a new Bianca, new Rhea Ripley level women's wrestler in my division thanks to you. I'm thankful for you continuing to misuse so many guys over there like Keith Lee and Aleister Black that are gonna make them regret ever leaving WWE and want them to come back to Papa H so I can book them correctly like I did in NXT. So thank you. Thanks to you. I'm going to get these guys back once their contract expires. And I wouldn't be able to do that without you. And last but not least, I'm thankful that you pissed off CM Punk so much that he wanted WWE reunion and come back to work with us. I thought he hated me, but he hated you so much. He came to the Raw in Chicago to make peace with me. And I had a 1-hour conversation the week before Survivor Series so we can have the most monumental viewed social media clip across all our social medias with 21 million views. We wouldn't have gotten 71 million views without you, Tony Khan. So I thank you for being an incompetent booker, and terrible manager, and just let yourself get pushed over by a couple of Young Bucks and Kennys beer bellied Jerichos. So thank you, Tony Khan, for being terrible at your job and making mine that much cheesier.
Oh, good. Finger snaps.
Oh my God.
That was good. Tony Khan was afraid of his life, remember? Fearful of his life, guys.
I said this on Smackin' Raw on Saturday when I came in for the live stream. CM Punk was so close to me in Survivor Series. I fear for my life too.
Oh man, gosh! Well, if he had real glass, none of that situation would be taken care of. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know what? As wrestling fans, we should be thankful for
Jack Perry.
Jack Perry. Because he is going to, he might be the butterfly effect that changes the landscape of wrestling by having CM Punk go back to WWE. Like, that should, that's now, funny. That should,
you know, so funny. Funny. You know, so funny about him, about Jack Perry, you know, he had a lot of potential, but it looks like he'll never break through that glass ceiling.
We need those.
I'll be honest though. Jack Perry, he was a pure baby face, but now when he comes back, he's gonna be all heel then.
What is he? Oh, he does straight up. Yeah. Straight up. He
could be heel for once.
What's crazy is that CM Punk came back before he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just wild.
That is. But yeah. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, but we couldn't leave you guys with a little bit of a message. You know, sometimes I realize that, like, as a wrestling fan, you go on social media and you listen to the wrong people. Sometimes you listen to the people with, you know, they say they have factual information. Information that sometimes that you might believe in. Sometimes you might think that, like, I should take this as Bible. But I think this is time that you should just think for yourself. And maybe you just didn't know that somebody actually had a scripture already for you. You may not know that somebody already made a path for you to take because you've just been ignoring it this whole time. And I might know that somebody. I actually might know a couple of those people. And that's us, the Get Your Podcast crew. You can find us here every other week. The link is in our bio. But I'm not the only one that doesn't have a message. Vince?
Well, Garn, do you have a message?
These times like these where there's constant change in your life and you have no idea where you're going to head out or where you're going to go, but there's always something that will remain, that CM Punk is always Chicago and he's not going to leave there anytime soon. So you could feel more comfortable, and the fact that he's always going to be here in Chicago and nowhere else. Who cares about the other real place? Care about Chicago. Only Chicago. Because we need some love. We have no love in sports, so we need love.
There you go.
There you go. Love Chicago. I love CM Punk. I love that message. Guys, I just have a few, like, I have three things I want to remind you guys. When you start a new job, always remember that you're not there to make friends. You're there to make money. Always remember to keep others on their toes. So when they think they have the answers, you change the question.
This is a great transition, man.
And always remember the three I's. Yes, that's right. Incompetence at the workplace is not only welcome, it is encouraged. Inconvenience others always as much as you can, because they are not you. And number three, incognito mode is your best friend.
That was such a good transition.
yo, that was good. That's good. But like we always end it, you can find us Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. If you can find me there, you know what I'm saying? I'm also available on Marks and Mikes. Vince is also available on Smackin' and Raw. Vince, let me give it to you, my dude.
Yeah. You can follow me on social media at SCS Vince. The link tree in my bio takes you to everything Straight Talk, Smackin' and Raw, and Get Show. Obviously, Straight Talk is no longer in the running right now. We're not doing stuff, but you can go watch the past episodes, the catalog.
A lot of good stuff.
It's all still there. A lot of good stuff there. A lot of basketball stuff. Go ahead and check it out. Check out my YouTube, youtube.com/SCSVince. Maybe I'll do a count out video, top 10, like top 6 CM Punk matches that we looking forward to. So there might be content there. Go ahead, subscribe there.
And that's it, y'all. I hope you enjoyed, and see us next week.
We back, baby.
Yeah.
Bitches back.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
Tell me.